The whistles are going round Anfield. Deep, deep.
Yes!
It's mine! Yes! Liverpool! The city is red! Liverpool go 12 points clear once again at the top of the Premier League. They say great teams bounce back. That's what we have done tonight. Okay, it wasn't pretty at times, but then again, I say to you, is a Merseyside derby ever going to be pretty most of the time? It's about showing your passion, showing your desire. The fans were magnificent, and Diogo Jota, he is the number 20. He will guide us to victory, is the song the fans sing. He's had a bad time of it, Diogo Jota. But it's all about two big incidents. First half, Beto, clean through at the cup for Everton, hit the post. Second half, Diaz with a back heel. Jota ending his goal drought in style. Great feat, what a goal, what a moment, what a night. Liverpool 1, Everton 0.
Yes, Steve, the city certainly is red. That was LSE TV's commentator Steve Hunter wrapping up another huge night at Anfield as Liverpool restored their 12-point lead at the top of the Premier League with a hard-fought 1-0 victory over Everton in the Merseyside derby. Coming up in this episode of The Reaction, Arne Slot, Curtis Jones and the goalscorer Diogo Jota will all give us their thoughts on the win over the Blues. I'm Mark Benstead and I was joined down pitchside for the LFC TV post-match show by Reds legends Phil Thompson and John Barnes. And that is where we will head first. Full time here at Anfield. Liverpool 1, Everton 0 in the Merseyside derby. John Barnes, Phil Thompson are glowing pitch side next to me. The thoughts of the boys to come. But first, let's just show you how the Premier League stands after that result here tonight. And, of course, the other games this evening across the division. The Reds have extended their lead at the top back to a very healthy 12 points. There are just 8 games left of the season to go. Yeah, it was the result we wanted overall, Tom, and perhaps not the sparkling best we've seen all the way through the campaign, but that doesn't really matter, I guess, at this stage of the season.
Listen, you can't go back on what we were saying before the game, is that it's all about results at this time of the season. The performances, we love to win it, playing great, flowing football and 3-4-0 and everything. It's going to be a graft. It's a derby match. It's about the result at this moment in time. 1-0 to me seems like 4 or 5 because it's still giving us the 3 points and we are more than happy with what's happened. Yes, it was a scrappy one, but I'm absolutely delighted.
I mean, derby matches are like that. You know, when you talk about you really want a performance to then next week, you've got to keep playing well. But I think in derby matches, you'll forgive, I won't say bad performance because it wasn't. And second half, we were much better than the first half. But in derby matches, this can happen. You know, if this was against somebody else and we didn't play particularly well and we won, we may have been a little bit critical. But in a derby match, we can't take anything away from it. And second half was a much better performance.
Fans will go home. We've won 1-0. We played really well against PSG, played really well. Mm. And everybody's gone, oh, we got beat. Mm. We were poor. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. It's down to that type of the season when you get that result and everybody's gone home. You heard the atmosphere near the end. Mm. Everybody's delighted with a 1-0 win. If it's 1-0 right to the end of the season, this place will be rocking.
The game wasn't a game jam-packed with quality, but it took a moment of quality, a moment of composure as well in the final third to get the winning goal. Very good play, John, by Diogo Jota, just to have that awareness of what was happening around him.
Yeah, I think that really, you know, we've said it before, as much as he's not had the best of 6 weeks to 2 months, but I still think he's our best finisher. Mo scores a lot of goals, don't get me wrong. He'll score more than Jota. But when you're talking about someone who's clinical, when you think about the front four, if you like, I think that Jota is our most clinical. And of course, he turned up trumps with that.
Yeah, he had a few moments in the game, it didn't quite fall, didn't quite break for him. But when it counted, he was able to have that calmness of thought process to know what to do, to control his body and get the shot on target in such an effective way.
Absolutely. How many times did we have that in the box? People trying to work a shooting chance, shooting opportunity. And we were trying. How many blocks did they get during that game? They defended with the bodies. Everybody was on the line. And it was just that little bit of composure just to open up that slight bit. There was people flying in front of him. And then Pickford's gone that way and it's gone past the other way. There was one with Tarkowski in the first half, but it took a deflection and it's gone straight into his hands. You get some, and I'd said at halftime, we need to keep having the pop, because you'll get one of them and they will go in the back of the net.
And particularly where they were defending it, everyone back behind the ball, we were never going to score a perfect goal of playing through them. What you had to do is just shoot from the edge of the box. When you get an opportunity, it could get a deflection, could go anywhere. So thankfully, you know, Jota turned up trumps.
Nights like this, you also need players to take a bit of responsibility. I thought Luis Diaz tonight really kept trying to make something happen against that back five at times for Everton, with the wing back, the fullback. Why play dropping back, sorry, as well?
Look, the number of times you felt as though Arnott and his staff have seen something here, because the amount of times we kept feeding Luis Diaz, just giving the ball in the first half, I thought he was fantastic. Yeah. Maybe he didn't get past his fullback all the time, but it's that you keep going. He keeps knocking it out of play. You keep pressured on, and it was there. It was incessant, his movement and his determination. I thought he was man of the match.
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be difficult for us because of the way they played to pass through them. You know, have 2, 3, 4 passes and then get a clear shot on goal. It was going to take something where somebody had to do something individually, dribble past 2 or 3, which is what Jota did, but Diaz was doing it as well in the first half. And as much as he was dribbling around people, maybe the final shot wasn't there, but that was what it was going to take to beat Everton, because they were so well organised. For us to play good football, to play through them and create an opening, was never going to happen.
You've been that wide player asked to get past the team to make something happen. It can be about mindset as well, having to keep going again and again and again to try and force.
Yeah, but of course, from my perspective, wide play, I'm going to go past someone, put a cross in. When you've got Rush and Aldridge and people like that. But of course, us going past people, putting crosses in with those giants at the back, we were never going to do that and get a crossing to score with a header. So it was really going to be someone who had to then take an opportunity to have a dribble and beat 2 or 3 and have a shot from the edge of the box or just inside the box. Because we did get in wide areas and put crosses in, but they defended all of them. Very well, Everton.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing as well. Sometimes you can't ignore the strengths of the opposition. We spoke pre-match about it, Tomo. They're such a big, well-organised back line these days. Even Mikulenko, I didn't think he was as big as he was. He actually a big unit as well. They're all giants back there. It's hard to get past them.
Mikulenko did very well against Mo. When you think of the amount of times Mo really caused danger, not as much as Luis Diaz. But you have to keep probing. You have to keep doing it. If you negate it and you go, let's not go there because we've been there all the time. You need to keep going and putting that pressure on. And the fullback did really well against Luis Diaz, but he kept going, coming inside. And I was happy because at times we come inside all the time and they get the blocks, everybody does it. He was going outside, so he's causing problems all the time. And I just thought we had to work hard for it, and it came in the end. And I think that is the greatest thing that you can give to the boys.
There were a few difficult moments to overcome. I just wondered, Tom, what you made first half, when so often that sort of straight ball through the middle was causing problems. With Beto running, you really seemed to cause issues, particularly for Ibu at times. Second half was much better, but first half it was a real problem.
Well, he was on his own, and sometimes when you have a turnover in possession, you need to be switched on. You need to see where people... And we didn't switch on quick enough, or we started backtracking. We left him in between players, and that's where a couple of times he caused us problems. Yeah. But you look at it, at times we were playing the game with 80% possession, which is so hard. As you said, you keep on going back all the time. It's hard. You go, oh my God, I've just been here. Every sort of 30 seconds going back to the same one. The concentration level is hard, and it's the same with Evan. Because when that ball breaks down, you've got to switch on quick. Mm. One moment in the Premier League, you can come unstuck.
The big moment of the first half, the big controversial moment of the game, came when it was 0-0. Challenge on the edge of his own box by James Tarkowski on Alexis McAllister.
I don't know why Tom was looking at me.
It's one that you guys have been debating walking out here all the way pitch side. Your take on it initially, John, what you thought about it?
I'm talking about from my day to this day. I mean, this day it's a red card because we know in today's. But I'm talking about when I played and when Tomo played, which was obviously 20, 30 years before me, that would have been a good tackle. And Tomo said he'd never done a sack like that, Tommy Smith. Nowadays, I'm saying that in 30 years ago, that is what you were encouraged to do in terms of your tackle. So I understand that. But today it's a red card. Today.
It's a red card.
Or even just going to the VAR, because I think he had been called to the VAR and looked at it, but I don't think he looked at it, did he?
To me, it's intent. And you look at it, he knows what he's doing. He's won the ball cleanly. He doesn't need to do that. I've seen other players do that over the time. It's 70-30 in your favour. And somehow, some way, you go through something like that. So you're going to hurt somebody. And that was just, it was deplorable. You look at that challenge, and I've seen it now. You see his McAllister's leg bend, and it's just absolutely awful. When you've won that ball quite easily, there's no need to follow through like he did do. And John's got his opinion going back. The game's not about 20, 30 years ago. It's about the now. And it's just, it is wrong. That could have done McAllister. I was looking down. I was watching the bench. They were looking at the incidents on their monitors, and they were screaming at what had happened. They were furious with what they'd seen. And to me, and looking at and trawling through social media, you're looking at Mike Dean, who I haven't really got too much time for. He's gone, why the referee didn't go to the monitor? And because it would have been a straight red card.
But I think that's the big thing from it, isn't it? In the modern game and the way we now have VAR, you've got the option there. The pressure should be from the VAR officials to direct the referee to the monitor, and then he can have another look at it in real time. Then it can, if he stays by his decision, fair enough. Or he can change it and go the other way.
Well, obviously, the person who's making the decision didn't feel that he was right to call him to the monitor. As Tomo says, yes, and I talk about, you do have to talk about it in the context of today. You can't talk about it in the context of 30 years ago, because the manager used to say to people, centre-backs like Gil Thompson, hurt them. That's what they used to say. So never mind, don't hurt them. You say, if you get a chance to hurt them, you hurt them. That's what you were told. No? So I don't know why he pretended it wasn't, because that's the way it was. So today is completely different. So I'm a bit worried about Tomo being a bit squeamish about it, in, you know, because in his day, that would have been a good tackle.
Do you know,
Tomo was trying to think of a way to answer
that. He played with Tommy Smith.
I'm going to tell him now, in any era, that's still a red card. I don't care. People will look at that. You can say whatever you want. It is not right. In 30 years ago, it's not right today. And that is not how the referee can do that, and sort of, and the VAR, because we have they've got that. They've got a bit of slow motion. My goodness. And he's looked at that and he's gone, oh no, it's all right. Or don't bother going to see the monitor, because stand by your decision. Wrong.
But we can't say about things looking different in slow motion, and then when we don't want to say, well, he's saying in slow motion it looks terrible. We can't have it both ways, because there are times when we say, oh, well, slow motion makes it look worse than it is. And now we're saying in slow motion it looks terrible. We can't have it both ways.
I couldn't stand here now, and if that was one of our players, and we're working for LFC TV, I couldn't stand here now and go, he got the ball first, he's all right. Because that would be totally wrong, because what we've just seen there is awful. It's like an assault on them, and it's just an absolute terrible incident. I'm amazed how he carried on,
but I think it's that whole debate about how VAR is used. You go back to the game at Tottenham last season, Curtis Jones, the freeze frame, and that kind of sort of did for him. That was because the indication was that's the freeze frame, it looks terrible, and VAR then sends a player off. Today, VAR hasn't given the referee the option to look at anything of the challenge again, like you say, John, because the VAR obviously decided it's not.
But of course, you have to give the referee the option, you know. So of course, and we've seen it in we've seen decisions in the past whereby we have thought, well, it's not bad, and we have thought it should be a red card. The referee goes and he says, I don't think it's a red card, but the referee has to be given the option for him to make that decision.
No, without a doubt.
63 bookings now for James Tarkowski, the most, joint most, in the Premier League without picking up a red card. That's quite impressive, to be fair, actually, for a centre-half, I think, to that many yellow cards.
How you can get through so many games with having a yellow card against your name and you're not picking up a red is quite astonishing.
It's an impressive performance for a centre-half. overall, from the Everton point of view, the threat that they posed, after that first half was put to bed, dealt with the issue of better second half, less danger from Everton?
From our point of view. Yeah. Absolutely. But of course, you know, I have to give Everton credit in terms of the chances. They were limited, but in terms of their game plan of soaking up pressure and trying to catch us on the counter-attack, which they did. I mean, the goal they scored, which was just offside as well, and they got into some dangerous areas whereby they were 2-2, 3-2, and the wrong pass came in. They were more adventurous than I thought they would be. They did it really well, where Decore was coming forward, Harrison was coming forward, Guy sat, so they had a very, very good game plan, which was worked perfectly in the first half. Second half, we obviously started moving the ball quicker, and they didn't really cause a threat in the second half. But I have to say, in the first half, they were impressive in terms of just soaking up the pressure than you know.
I must admit, I thought it was far more offside than what It was, because when they went, and my mobile phone's going off now, do you think it's James Tarkowski?
I think he's saying it on offside. Yeah, no, I thought it could have been onside, actually, because when he actually then saw the replay, it was just offside. And that's why I love VAR and things like that, because, you know, we get the right decision, and it was the right decision.
Yeah,
offside.
When it was moving on and it was delaying it, that's when you start getting worried. And I was thinking, I thought it was well offside. Yeah. And that's when the panic starts to set in. Thankfully, it was.
Yeah, thankfully it was. Okay, let's go and get the thoughts now of a player who we debated pre-match in terms of how he would deal with playing in a slightly different role. Curtis Jones operated at right back today. We'll get the boys' thoughts on his performance in a second, but let's hear from the man himself now. He is with Pete.
Well, Curtis, congratulations. First of all, that was some noise at the end. I think everybody realised how big a win that was.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, we've came back after the break. We've got an important run and started there with the first game. It was 3 points, it was a clean sheet, so it was a perfect start.
First half, they had chances, hit the post. Did something need to change at half-time? Is it just maybe a little bit of ring rustiness? What was said there?
At the end of the day, I think they play in style of play that's hard. They go long all the time. They've got lads up top who are big, who are strong, who are powerful lads. It's a headache up there. But it's one of them where, of course, going to have a chance or two. But then the rest of the game, we played, dominated, and at the same time, you know, they also play a style of play where they play deep, so, you know, it's hard to shoot and create and all this type of things that we've done against teams who will come and press. And that's just their style of play, and that's what they do well. But the important thing is that we come away with a clean sheet and 3 points.
We were without a right-back at Wembley, and the manager mentioned you there. Curtis can play if we need him to. What was that conversation prior to this one that he wanted you to play in there?
Just one of them things, you know, I just say it all the time, is at the end of the day, I'm a footballer. Of course, when I play 8 or 10, but there's lads
in there.
Or 9, or the false 9, or off the left or anything like that. I just want to go and play. I want to try and help the team as much as I can. As I said, you know, of course, when I play 8 or 10 or even 6, but there's lads in there who are doing a fantastic job. So I've just got to wait for my chance, of course, and back myself all the time. But at the end of the day, it's the choice of the manager and his staff, and he knows what he thinks is best for the team. So I respect that, and I just always wait until he needs me.
We could see it was a brave decision that you were almost the extra man in midfield when you needed to be as well.
Yeah, well, that's the good thing. That's kind of how he sold it to me as well. He said, I'll be playing more as a 10 because we'll have all the balls. So I was like, all right, yeah, that's fine. But in terms of their style of play, you know, as I said, you were going long all the time. So I was finding myself at the back of load, at the back post, and I was clearing things, you know, I was stopping shots and crosses and things like that. But yeah, at the end of the day, that's part of the game. That's part of a right back as well. And he's trusting me in there, so I have to do a job.
There was a moment we all held our breath towards the end. The flag come up eventually, but I don't know how you got that one clear.
Yeah, I'm a flexible lad, or something. but it's one of them things where, you know, it's an important game. It's important that we try and win all of our games. And there at the end, you know, they could have had a big chance. I didn't know it was offside, so I just thought, you know, it's in my space, so I don't want to be the blame. So I've got to do a job there. That's what I've done, and then fortunate enough, you know, I was offside anyway, but I cleared it as well. But I think the important thing as well is the clean sheet and 3 points.
Give us an insight, because you're great at this as well, in that you can slow down the game when you need to. Jota does that in a position where everybody seems to be losing their heads. He slows the game down. It's a brilliant five-a-side finish.
What a player Jota is, mate. Yeah, he's there behind the camera. I think the same with Jota, you know. And all the lads as well who come off the bench and help, and the lads who start, you know, we've got a great team, and you know, whether you start or not, you just know that's all about the team. I think Jota has kind of had a run of games where he's not scored, but he works hard as well, and it's the trust that we all have in him, that, you know, if he doesn't score or he doesn't assist, that we know that, you know, that he will always run, he'll always be there for the team and for the pass. But he scored as well, so that's the important thing.
I know what you boys are like now. You'll already be thinking about Fulham. 13 points from 8 games will do it.
That's the one, yeah. Just on to the next.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
On to the next, indeed. It was funny, John, even as Pete was asking the question about playing rugby, you can see by his face, yes, I don't really want to play there, but, you know, I'll do it for the team. What did you make of how he dealt with it and the fact it did become an opportunity for him to get on the ball further forward?
Well, I think if you look at the way that role has developed in the last couple of years with this inverted fullback coming into midfield, that's what he was doing. He comes into midfield. So, of course, we wondered about defensively how he would cope, but we knew he would then come in midfield to then play as a midfield player. And we knew he wouldn't come under that much pressure in terms of Everton attacking. So he played in his normal role more as a six. I think the problem he had and we had in the first half, we weren't moving it side to side quickly enough because Everton got deep, defended deep in numbers. So at the back, we had a lot of time on the ball. Now, when you have time on the ball, you don't take time. You still move it. But we still got it, waited 3 or 4 seconds, then moved it, waited 3 or 4 seconds. So Everton shuttled across. Once we started to move it quicker, yeah, which is what we should have been doing in the first half, as we did in the second half, that's when we created more problems.
I thought he did well. And it's exactly what we said before, why he was picked in there. He said himself, Curtis, the boss put me in there because we're going to have most of the ball. Mm. And that's why he wants me to get on the ball and I can come in there and play as a 10. So he's adept to be able to do things like that. And he wasn't really tested very much defensively for all that 96 minutes.
The high balls and long balls, but nothing on the ground in terms of people taking them on. Yeah.
People taking them on and causing them problems. So I think he's done that in a way. And John's too right. When you're playing at the back and when you're moving the ball, you see players and they get it and they go 1, 2, 3. No, just lend each other the ball. Just keep moving the ball on. And you see people, and it's been ever thus. Just lend each other. They need the time now. But they have 2 or 3 touches, and that is enough to slow down for somebody to get into a block in front of you.
You look at the stats from the second half. Liverpool, 299 passes to Everton's 89. 76% of the ball to Everton's 24% of the ball. Better, quicker use of the ball.
It's more quicker.
Possession of the
I don't think the first half, in terms of possession-wise, would have been that much different. No, Everton created a few problems, but it was too slow. Because what you do as a defensive unit is you try and shuttle across. And then when they move it to the left, you shuttle across. Now, if they're going to take such a long time, it's easy. But if you move it side to side quicker, then they can't all shuttle across and get back. All it takes is for one person to close down, the other one doesn't come, then the gap opens up. And that was happened a few times in the second half. So it's a much better performance in the second half.
Is that the sort of blueprint for the rest of the season? Look, remember, guys, when you move the ball quicker.
But it depends on who you play against. Because as Curtis said, if you play against a team, you're going to come and have a high press. That's when we can get the ball forward quickly. And that's when we just really on the transitions attack. Whereas if you play against a team who defends deep, that's when you have to move it quickly.
Okay, great stuff, guys. More to come from the boys down pitch side. We'll take a short break just now. When we come back, more reaction as well from the dressing room on what has been a good night for the Reds. A 1-0 victory in the Merseyside derby to move ever closer to the Premier League title. We're back soon.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on Amazon Fire TV, Android TV and Roku TV. You can watch all the latest on-demand and live content directly through your smart TV, whether that's full-match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and achievements. Simply download from your TV's app store, log in with your registered user details and get easy access to everything LFC. Now, let's get back to the show.
Jota wins it back. Jota, great feat. Jota's in. Brilliant.
Yes!
Yes! Jota is back with a goal. Fantastic goal by Jota.
Yeah, that is typical Steve and Aldo there. Them in an absolute nutshell. Okay, David Moyes is winless in all 20 of his Premier League matches at Anfield, losing each of the last 9 in a row. It is the most games any manager has managed at one stadium without winning in Premier League history. Now let's hear from the man that struck the vital goal that sunk the Blues this evening. Diogo Jota is with Pete now.
Joss, congratulations. It was maybe going to come down to one moment. That moment was yours.
Yeah, that's what the manager told us as well, off-time. I think it was really important for us to keep the clean sheet today. I think we all know how they defend deep with a lot of bodies in the boxes, hard to create chances and to put the ball inside the net. But we needed to wait for that moment of someone or a team play. And I think in the end we did what we needed to get the 3 points.
That was just so Diogo Jota, that goal as well, in that moment where it just feels like there's so much chaos going on. You just managed to slow it down to your level.
Yes, keep on trying. I think obviously things never always not, they don't work all the time, but you need to wait for that moment where everything clicks, and fortunately for me and for the team I could do that, and in the end everyone fought really hard to keep the clean sheet and to give us 3 points.
It gives us another insight, doesn't it? I mean, obviously the frustration towards the end when no decisions were going our way, but when you wait for a goal as long as you have as well, you just have to keep that patience that moment will come.
Yeah, especially after the goal we did what is the hardest part, that is to score a goal, and then, like I said, falls against us, they could launch the ball in the box, we all know the kind of game they want, and in the end we fought really hard, like I said, and we defended that well, and we got the 3 points.
You mentioned the defending there, Curtis Jones, who ends up playing as a right back, gets most people's man of the match. This team can do most things, can't they? Players can play in different positions.
Yeah, we have a few like that. I think Curtis has been playing in a lot of positions this year. I think that shows the quality player that he is, to be able to perform in multiple positions and to help the team when it's needed. I think that's really important. And he was one of the 11 plus the, I think, two or three that came on, what in the end, three, so that helped us to win games.
How does that feel at the end? You know, the fact that you again go further clear, you know, the amount of points you need now in the games that are left is kind of decreasing, that it feels like we're getting a little bit closer.
Yeah, of course, every game is a massive step from now on. That's what the run-in is all about. We've been in similar positions in previous years, obviously not with such a gap, but we kind of let the lead go away in the last games. We know how tough they are, and especially today after the international break was really important as well, because it's a derby to start well with 3 points, and hopefully that gives us the momentum for the rest of the season.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, the match winner tonight, Diogo Jota, speaking with Pete there. You mentioned at the top of the show, John, you think he's probably our best finisher within the group. His first goal since mid-January, the goal at Forest. What could that do for him moving forward in these remaining eight fixtures?
Well, goals always give you confidence, doesn't it? You know, so of course, and it's a winning goal in a derby, which would give him added confidence. But he doesn't seem to suffer from confidence, because even when he hasn't been scoring, he still put himself out there. You know, still, because a lot of people will hide when they're on scoring goals and, you know, not run around. But as you say, if he's not scoring, he's still giving the team so much in terms of his effort, his commitment. So, yeah, but I'm pleased for him that he scored, because he deserved it.
And it does. It'll give him a boost. You're measured by the goals, being a centre forward. And I just think, you know, after the Newcastle game in particular, in the Carabao Cup, it went into overdrive, social media sort of. You think all of a sudden overnight, this boy's become a bad player. Mm. He's not. It was just not that Diogo Jota had a bad day. Everybody had a bad day. But he seemed to come in for a lot of criticism. And as you heard from Curtis, that's where the appreciation comes from. Your fellow teammates who know what you bring to the team. And he's like that. He always causes problems. And John will know, as being a striker, you go through spells like that where you'll have a lean spell, then you'll come back and you'll come back with a bang.
We spoke pretty much about the two results leading into the international break. Tonight in the stadium, John, there was a little bit of, I don't think tension is probably too much of a word, but it was quiet at times, but edgy at times. How important do you think that goal was to get that win tonight, just to get us back up and running again?
Well, derbies are always going to be edgy. I mean, had you know, the results gone our way in the Champions League and the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup, it still would have been edgy, because it's a derby match, and Everton are playing well. They're, you know, they're a confident Everton team. So it was a difficult match for us, but it was an important game for him and for us to get back on track. I always felt it was going to be our... You'd rather not play Everton after the month we've had, but we had to do it, and we've come through it unscathed, and we've played well in the second half. We scored, and we've now got a 12-point lead. We can relax a little bit.
I think sometimes as well, Tom, we get drawn in, don't we, into the idea that we should just walk through games, especially with the season we've had, having just lost one game in the league. You don't have any given right to just steamroll the teams and pick up points after points. Sometimes you have to grind things out. Has to be a little bit ugly. Can't always be champagne football. It can't always be a walkover.
And you're talking to two lads who've won league titles, and everybody thinks that it was all brilliant, John, doesn't it? All sunshine. Everything was great. They played great football, won games. We didn't. We had to dig in. We played awful at times, because there were some
results.
Games. And you get the right results. And that's where the best teams are. And that's why we've been so good. People have not given us the credit for what we deserve all the season. We've lost one game in the Premier League, for goodness sake.
Look at what's happened to all the teams. Look at Arsenal dropping points, Man City. Look at all the teams. And because we didn't play well in the last month in these games, all of a sudden, as Tomo said, in the last couple of weeks, you're hearing from social media about it's all doom and gloom. When if you look at what all the other teams are doing, dropping points and not playing well, we have been fantastic. Yeah, particularly new manager, iconic managers left.
People have blamed us for their sort of poor performances because they've gone, Liverpool have got winning the league, the top of the league, because other teams have been rubbish. One game we've been beaten.
It's
funny when you do take a step back and think about it like that in context of the manager and the chats we were having at the start of the season, how we cope with the transition, this, that, and the other.
And in context of how difficult the Premier League is with all the teams. You know, you're looking at any team in the Premier League is going to give you a game.
Because they talk about the big six. Big Six gone now. When you think Brighton, Villa,
Forest,
you look Forest who've made the way in here. Newcastle, you're going, oh my goodness. So it's a hard league to win. And maybe that's why those teams that we've said have took points off other teams, but we haven't. We've been there, and that's why we've been more consistent than anybody else.
It's not Liverpool's fault that some of the teams have been garbage at points to the cost of the campaign.
Absolutely.
Let's just remind you what has happened across this midweek card in the Premier League as a whole. Just to bring in some of the other teams we've just been speaking about. There were three matches last night. So the big game we were really interested in was the one at the Emirates as Arsenal were 2-1 victors over Fulham. Wolves took a huge step towards Premier League survivor. You think they are probably safe now. I think they're a good, sizable bit above the drop zone after Jorgen Strand-Larsen's goal saw them beat West Ham by 1-0. Nottingham Forest were 1-0 victors over Manchester United. Anthony Elanga returning to haunt his former club. Forest are looking very well set to play in the Champions League next season. Tonight, Ipswich against Bournemouth. Ipswich might just pick up a big, big win there. It might be too little too late for them. Aston Villa's recent resurgence continues, and Marcus Rashford was amongst the scorers for them as they beat Brighton by 3-0. Manchester City were 2-0 victors against Leicester City. Jack Grealish scored his first Premier League goal for almost 16 months for City. Newcastle, 2-1 winners over Brentford. Sandro Tonali with a bit of a screamer by all accounts to win that one up at St James's Park. And it was 1-1 between Southampton and Crystal Palace. Just one game left to be played. That takes place tomorrow as Chelsea host Spurs at the Bridge. Top of the table looks like this. Liverpool now 12 points clear once again of Arsenal. Forest, as I mentioned, looking well set to move into Europe's premier competition next season. That would be some story. And they could still lift the FA Cup as well. At the bottom, as I mentioned, Wolves look to be pretty much safe now. 9 ahead of the bottom three. Ipswich, Leicester and Southampton. Well, they do look doomed. Southampton, to be fair, have looked doomed for a while. Just on the point of the quality in the league, you know, the argument has been, as you mentioned, that the bigger teams have suffered, but the quality of some of the other teams has come up. The likes of Brighton, the likes of Bournemouth, Forest have been excellent. So the overall quality, you could argue, has been that.
The quality of the middle band. You know, when you talk about the top six, the top six will go, you know, change positions. Six may finish fourth, whereas they had that six. And Everton will argue that next season they'll be looking to be one of those teams who could do maybe a Nottingham Forest. But you look at the teams like Brighton, Forest, even Bournemouth, who all of a sudden, when the top six were set in stone, they're now ones who have now improved a lot to be able to maybe challenge two of the top six. So now the top six isn't necessarily set in stone because the middle band have really improved. The bottom three or four, I think are always going to bottom three or four. But, you know, even all the way down to Bournemouth, who they lost today, which is unusual. But even they, you know, can look to talk about, can we get into the top, you know, six or seven?
You look at those teams, they've had, some of them have had great runs. Fulham, Bournemouth, Brighton. You know, Brighton seemed to have fell off a cliff and you're going, my goodness, they were winning game after game. Yeah. And they looked a proper threat. Everybody was saying how good the manager is. And it's the same. Chelsea have been up and down. There's one point, about a third through the season when Chelsea were in with a good chance of winning the league. And the manager was saying, we're not ready yet. And you're thinking, and Spurs have struggled. So there's other teams which have made a play for their positions.
And in a one-off, they can beat anybody. That's the thing. So maybe even Brighton can't put a run together to finish in the top four. But on a one-off, you see them play. And if they get it together, Fulham themselves.
Them.
Yeah, and Fulham teams like that, they can cause problems.
It's interesting people talk about the ability to recruit in January and people say it's a bad month to do business. But Aston Villa have shown the value and what can be done in the transfer window then? Because the recruitment they did do, Asensio Rashford, has given them that little lift for this second half of the campaign.
Well, it did. John Duran, I never really felt they trusted him somehow. And he was one of those players who's had a great goal-scoring spell. But they were quite willing to let him go. They had ideas. If he's going, the missing goals, they bring in two players and you're going, why have other teams allowed them to go? Rashford needed something.
Yeah.
Absolutely needed. He needed to get away from Man United. Has he been brilliant? I wouldn't say he's been brilliant, but he's contributed assists, and now he started scoring goals.
That's where the recruitment is so important, and that is where a lot of these teams, like the Bournemouths and the Brightons and these middle teams, understand that you can, if you have good recruitment, and you can afford 20 million, 30 million, 25 million, as all Premier League teams can, you can go to Europe and get a very, very good player for that and not having to pay £200,000 a week and stuff like that. So you look at these teams, Brian particularly, the way that they actually do it, they buy players no one's ever heard of, and they're not spending 80 million, they're spending 20 million, even when they bought McAllister, and you get a very, very good player. So the recruitment for these teams is important.
Yeah, Bournemouth and Brighton are probably two of the best in the business just now at doing just that. And it's certainly set them up well for this season. Bournemouth have been absolutely flying. Tonight excluded, of course. OK, we'll take our final break. When we come back, more from the boys down pitch. So we'll look ahead to the game against Fulham this weekend. And we'll hear from the boss, Arne Slot, what he made of tonight's win here against Everton. Welcome back to Anfield, where tonight we saw Arne Slot win his first Merseyside derby as boss of the Reds. What did he make of it all? Let's find out. He's with Pete.
Well done, boss. How does that feel?
Very good, for obvious reasons. We had to react after the last two games we've played. It was, of course, in the Champions League and in the League Cup. But never a good feeling to lose. It's never a good feeling to go out of a tournament. But in the Premier League, we've been outstanding till now. And then, of course, we play the Merseyside Derby. So to win it was, for multiple reasons, very pleasing.
It came with its challenges, and it felt like maybe the game was going to come down to one big moment. Is that how you maybe felt it as well at half-time?
Yeah, but not only at half-time, also before the match. I remember the game we played at Everton. I've seen them playing so many games afterwards. They were 9 games unbeaten. Hardly any team scores against them or creates a chance against them, and there's a reason for that, because yeah, they play with so many bodies behind the ball in and around their 18-yard box. They are so strong in heading balls away, blocking shots. And they're a constant threat in the counter-attack with Beto, who's fast and smart. And, of course, there is the set-piece threat, because every throw and every free kick they get, they bring it into your last line. So you cannot slow down for a second. And you know you can only win the game if you keep a clean sheet, because apart from against us, and against United, they only conceded one game every other game. So then you know you need to keep a clean sheet if you want to win it.
And that big moment, there's nobody would rather have in that position than Diogo Jota. He just seems to, it was very like him, wasn't it, the goal?
Yeah, it was. But it was not the first time he had a moment like this. I think it was his third moment, or the third moment came a few minutes later. But the first moment was, I think, after 5, 6, 7, or 8 minutes, where he was also in the same position and he again wanted to shoot it, but no surprise, they blocked the ball. And that happened a lot today, and then you have to just keep on going. The amount of times we had Lucio Diaz and Mo Salah in 1v1 situation was a lot, but it's not easy to create big chances from that. So Jan, you just have to make sure that it happens a lot, and hopefully one moment is enough. And it was, because he had a great dribble and a great finish.
13 points will do it.
Yeah, but it was also clear today that it's so difficult to win a Premier League game, and we didn't need today to know this, because it has been difficult whole season. But the last 8 or 9 games, or the last games of the season, are always tougher and tougher and tougher, because for the whole season, teams want to beat us desperately. And they always, we know this because we know this data, they always work harder against us than in every game they've played before. Yeah, that is what happens if you're the number one. Everyone wants to beat you. So, but our players today really showed up, like our fans. I said many times, I think Curtis stood up for the fans at the final whistle at Goodison Park. And I don't know if it was because of that, but the fans really helped us and stood up for us today, like the players did, because they were back to normal, I would say. Yeah.
Well done, boss.
Thank you.
Your thoughts of Arne Slot on tonight's victory over Everton. Interesting point he makes about this stage of the season and being number one when there's a target on your back and the fact that teams do rise to the occasion. Did you find that, John, when you were in your pomp, when you were winning league titles, winning at the top of the table?
Well, of course, you know, you always want to play well. But the sign of champions is, can you get a result when you're not playing well? Yeah, and I'm not saying they didn't play well, but in a game like this, it could have gone either way. And I think Liverpool in the past, not so much in the last few years, but I remember teams having to play well to win, rather than, if you don't play well, can you get a result? And this was really our first test, because we played well, notwithstanding the Carabao Cup and Paris Saint-Germain, but we've played well throughout the season. So, and now, we're gonna, not just this game, we said, thank God it's a Merseyside derby, and now the other games are going to be easier, but they won't be. Fulham's going to be difficult. So can we play with the right attitude and commitment? Even if we're not going to play well, can we get a result? And tonight would give us a good example of how things are in the future in terms of us picking points up, even if we don't play well.
Diogo Jota scored tonight. He also scored last time we played Sunday's opponents, Fulham. That game in December, Tom, it feels it'll be seen as a big, big result. When we look back at the season, if we do win the league title, to have got back into the game and picked up a point when we'd had a man sent off, it feels like this was a big, big result in the context of the season.
And it was, because, and this was at the time, we've been saying about players, certain players, certain teams, how good they are. And this is a Fulham side who are playing really well. They're well coached. And there's so much. Poor Andy was having a really tough time of it at this moment. And him getting sent off made it difficult. But the team responded and they made sure we were becoming so sort of togetherness. And it's games like this that you do get over the line and you go, wow, that's it. Because honestly, they are such a good team, Fulham. Nunes here, Raul Jimenez up front. Big lads who can cause you problems.
Yeah, Muniz and Jimenez both in double figures for the season. They do carry a threat. And they've had some good results. Arsenal drew down at the Cottage. Forest lost there. This will not be easy. And reiterate the point we made earlier in the show, John, the quality of those middle teams has really improved. And Fulham are one of those teams.
And they attack you. You know, they'll sit back and defend, which could probably play into our hands because, you know, you saw Everton tonight. And I think that that's a template of how you have to play against Liverpool. I don't think you could go head to head with Liverpool, play an open, expansive game, a high press against us. We're so good on the counter attack that we'll play through you. Whereas Fulham will do. Fulham don't just come and sit back, but they will cause us problems. So, as you say, it's a testament to how difficult this Premier League is. That once upon a time going to Fulham, you'd think it's going to be an easy game, but it will be a very difficult game.
They've got Adama Traore as well. And you can go, his end product is, you can complain about, yes, but
he causes problems.
Always, absolutely. He is so quick and strong. And they've got the other players like, you know, you've got Anthony Robinson. They played three at the back against Arsenal. And Anthony Robinson does up and down that touchline.
He's a really good player, is he? And he's a good season.
He's had an exceptional season. He played well at left back. He played left wing back. Yeah. But he can get up and down the pitch. So they've got players in all the other. Sander Berg, again, another one. So set plays are going to be massive. Three big centre-backs at the back who will come up for all the set pieces.
Do you think we can have a mindset, John, of just looking at it and saying, look at the big picture. We've got such a commanding lead now. Don't panic in games. If you're not leading in the closing stages, don't chase it, because there's no need to win every game now. Can you have that mindset?
There's no need to think about it. You just think about the next game. You know, you're not thinking, oh, well, if you don't win today, or if you win today, we're okay. Give it to the cushion to next week or the week after. You've got to take, and that's the old adage, you take every game as it comes. And as long as you do that, you'll be okay.
I think one of the big things, Mark, is the first 15, 20 minutes, you can see how we play, as how we're going to go on. We need to start quick in games and let them know that we're at it today.
Yeah, big game coming up. But the key thing to remember as well is just how many of the fixtures that remain are back at this place and the potential this place has to really carry the team over the finish line.
I think it's massive.
And yeah, I mean, home advantage is very important, absolutely.
And because we've been so good here, that is why you feel a little bit more confident. Although there's some good teams about, you just feel we've got Arsenal to come here, we've got Tottenham to come. But you go, we can do anybody here. Over the years, it's been so good with the crowd behind us.
So certainly has. Gentlemen, thank you for your company here tonight. It's been a good day at the office for the Reds. Next up, it is a trip on the road down to the capital. Fulham are up next this Sunday. Do join us for Match Day Live for that one. Our coverage starts at 12:45. All the build-up to the game down at the Cottage between Fulham and Liverpool. If that is the weekend, just 8 games left now for the Reds as they look to try and secure this Premier League title. They are 12 points clear at the top of the table after a 1-0 win over the rivals across the city tonight. It felt good. Goodbye. That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back with more analysis and interviews following Sunday's away trip to face Fulham in another crucial game in this enthralling climax to the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, then please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.